let us end the land of Egypt. Then the Yechul Yoskol Isba, grass. Okay, Eskol Esev Hasodeh. Now that's a very unusual expression because it's coming to consume what was left over by the Borot, and that's in terms of the wheat and the barley. Okay, we have to see which one, but we're calling here the what it's going to consume, the barley, we're calling it Esev. Okay, V'yoskol di ashar barda. Rashi says, Barbe b'shvil makas arbe. So Rashi is coming to explain to us b'shvil. Okay, Rashi explains the base, bo arbe. Lift up your hand on the land of Egypt, bo arbe, on behalf of. Okay, so the English, what did it do to Rashi? What did it say over here? Literally for the locust. It's not so bad. For, on behalf of the locust. Go back to the Targum. Targum says, "Ve'avashal Moshe arem yotchal arad demitzrayim v'yesei gova." Okay, so it would appear that it's a disagreement. Okay, it appears over here there's a machlokes. That's our goal. That's a home run for us in this shir. And this shir is Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam, but we're here to make machlokes. And it would appear here, at face value, there's a major disagreement between Rashi and Unkelus as to the meaning of the word bo arbe. The word bo, I don't think, follows the standard rules of grammar. If you were a teacher in an elementary school and a student would write on his test, Vial would write such an expression, bo arbe, it's likely that you would give him a mark that a failure. Because there is no such grammatical construct, bo arbe, and it appears that's what's bothering Rashi and Unkelus, and there's a disagreement. Unkelus says bo arbe means the yesei, bo arbe, it shall arrive. After it arrives, then it ascends. Rashi disagrees. Rashi is not talking about its arrival. Rashi says bo arbe means on behalf of, b'shvil ho'arbe. V'yal means two things, according to Rashi. It has to mean it will arrive and it will ascend. There's no special word given to the word arrival. Only according to Unkelus does he say, v'yesei goiva. The goiva should come, and then v'yal. Where did Unkelus get the word v'yesei? He got it from the letter beis. Along comes Rashi. This is proof positive. This is total proof to our Yisoid that Rashi is writing a sefer on Unkelus. Rashi read the pasuk. Rashi saw exactly what the Unkelus did. He took the word bo arbe. It's unusual, and he says v'yesei will arrive. Rashi says you're wrong. You're totally wrong. That's not what it means. It means b'shvil. That's why he only commented on the one word bo arbe. B'shvil makas arbe. We're not discussing its arrival. We're just discussing that what's going to happen, but we're not discussing what an action. It's more of a noun, an adjective. Okay, so that was mission accomplished. We made machlokes. Now we go to pasuk gimel. V'yed Moshe es matel. Now we go further. Vayet Moshe es matel eretz Mitzrayim. Moshe, he extends his hand on the land of Egypt. So it goes forward. V'Hashem niyag ruach v'Hashem niyag. That's a good word. What does it mean, niyag? Let's look at the English. And the Lord drove. Okay, Hashem has a driver's license. He drove an east wind. Niyag ruach kodim. Hashem means he led, he directed an east wind. Ba'aretz kolim ochu v'chalal, the entirety of the entire night. Habayk v'hoya. And lo and behold, the morning was. V'ruach hakodim, the ruach hakodim nosa esuar beh, carried. The east wind had brought. He translates the word nasa means to brought. That's not a good translation. I don't like that. I don't know who am I to argue, but I don't feel comfortable with that word brought. The word nasa means to carry, not to bring. Okay, so what's he saying over here? Let's see the way the Targum Unkelus. Unkelus over here says, Vare Moshe Yos Chutre. Moshe lifted his stick al ara upon the land of Dimitraim, Hashem Dabar. That's a very classic word, Nihag. Dabar means to guide. Hashem guided the Ruach Kodim. Not like what it says over here in the English, drove. That's not really a good, that's not the way we translate today. Maybe 100 years ago they used the word drove, but the word nahag means guide. The way it would be translated today, dabar means to guide, like a tour guide. Ruach kiduma ba'ara kol yamahu v'chol leil, the entire night. Safrava, it was morning. And then ruach kiduma, the east wind, nital. Now here's a very interesting word, nital nosa. Nosa is nital. We have to go look that up in a second. Yoskeva logos. Now there's one point I want to make that I find to be very interesting. Okay, the word is the word hayoim and the word haboker. For the word yohayoim, it's yoima, and the boker, it's tzafra. Tzafra type means the early morning. All right, so okay, that's is yoima and tzafra. Rashi. Rashi ruach hakodim ruach mizrachis nasa es ha'arber. The east wind brought the arber. Lefi shabba kinegdoi. The east wind came and the opposite direction. What does that mean? Shemitzrayim bedroim es maravish hoysa. Egypt is in the southwest. Okay, so the west, that means that it's, look at the map of Eretz Yisrael. The map of Eretz Yisrael is not like the map of America. In America, we put north on the top, south on the bottom, east on the right, and west on the left. When you look at a map of Eretz Yisrael, a biblical map, Okay, you look at a regular map, so yeah, so it's right. So it's in the southwest, right? So I'm gonna get all mixed up. It's the same exact thing. It's in the southwest on the, so it's the bottom left. Commotion first from Mokam Acher. So where is the east? The east is Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. So you think about it. This is something that's a little hard to appreciate. Where is the wind coming? Now let me ask you. I don't know anything about geography. Can someone please help me? What territory is below the lowest portion of Eretz Yisrael? When you get all the way down, Eilat, all the way down, you go to Gaza. When you get all the way down, the Gaza is really on the corner, but when you go, that's not, when you go down, what country are you in? What country is that? All the way down. Not Egypt. Don't go into Egypt. Don't go to the left. Where is that? What country is that? Can I go look at a map?
Maybe Jordan.
No, Jordan is north. Northeast. Jordan. I want to talk about south. What is
Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia. Okay. So is this all the way down south? Saudi Arabia. So it's interesting. You would think, where did the locusts come from? So locusts came, it would seem, partially came from Saudi Arabia, but partially it would seem it came from Eretz Yisrael. Because the biblical, I don't know the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, but I imagine the biblical boundaries, they go down a lot lower than they are today. Probably, I would imagine that part of Saudi Arabia is really part of the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. Then would be very interesting would be is that where did the locusts come from? It came from Eretz Yisrael. Because you have to go really check this out on the map. I can't do it now. Go really analyze this very carefully. It says it came from the east. Okay, Mitzrayim is the southwest. So what is the southeast? What's the southeast? Well, part of it is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael goes down south, very, very far down, according to the biblical boundaries, which we don't use today. Because when they conquered in the time of Ezra, they didn't go so far down. But that means that the locust, the Arbe, came from Eretz Yisrael. It didn't come from the Mediterranean. It didn't come from, some other landmass. It came from Eretz Yisrael. That's a very interesting concept. When it comes to the locust, you're importing something that is from Eretz Yisrael into the land of Egypt, and that's very interesting, because none of the other makos did we import something from another country, unless you want to say the oreif, the mixed multitude of animals. Where did those animals come from? Did they come from Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. I think there's a limiting. Let's go further again. Ruach kodim, ruach mizrachis. it was an eastern wind. Mitzrayim was in the southwest. And now from the southeast. So the east wind, meaning that it's coming from the east going west. It's a wind that is in the east, but which direction is the wind blowing? It's blowing west. See, I remember once upon learning this. This is very complicated. This is a very complicated concept. When it says Ruach HaKodim, what does that mean exactly? What does that mean, an east wind? If you ask the average person, what it means is the wind is blowing eastward, which means like today the Gulf Stream. Today the Gulf Stream, it comes out from Canada, and it's really going in a southeast direction. In the United States, more or less, the Gulf Stream, the weather patterns are coming, not all the time, not sometimes it comes from the south up, it goes up north. But Bederach Klal, when you get like these very cold winds, when you get these very cold, like even right now, so they show you on the television, they show you how it's coming from Canada and it's making its way down, going southeast. So when you want to talk about an eastern wind, you would think that the wind is going from the, it's blowing from the west towards the east. But that's not what it means here. Here, the wind is blowing west in this case. And the reason why we're calling it the Ruach HaKodim, it means relative to where we are, the source of what is being transported is east. But if it's east, how is it getting to us? Because it's going in a western direction. See, this is not the typical way, according to Rashi, this is not the typical way you translate the words of, well, the way we would think. We don't think about it, we just say it's an east wind. It's not an east wind. If Mitzrayim is in the west, in the southwest, and now we are bringing locusts through wind, the wind is going to be the transportation. So what does it mean? It means that the wind is going to be blowing from the east. It's going to be going in a western direction, because Egypt is in the west, and if you want to import an object from the east, so the wind has to blow from the east towards the west. So why does it say over here Ruach Kodim, an eastern wind? The answer is that we're not discussing the direction of the wind. We are discussing the location of the wind. The wind is located in the east, and that wind in the east is going to pick up the Arba, transport them to Egypt. How is it going to travel? Well, it's going to travel in a western direction. So that's a very interesting interpretation of how Rashi, it's only the way Rashi was, let's see one more time over here. Ruach HaKodim, Ruach Mizrachis, an eastern wind, Nosa Es Arba, Lefi Yishabo Kenegdoi. What does that mean? Shemitzrayim Bidroi Mis Marovis Haisa. Egypt was in the southwest. K'moy Shemafarish Magam Acher. And thus, the wind that's going to be on the east is going to travel westward to bring the locust. Now, let's see Unkelus again. Now with that appreciation, we can go back and look at who agrees and disagrees. V'arei Moshe Yotzchu today, Al-Ari Dimitzrayim, Hashem Dabar Ruach, Hashem guided Ruach Kiduma Ba'ara. A wind that's Kiduma Ba'ara, Kol Yom Kol Laila. Now, if Rashi is coming to comment, this is something which we can appreciate from the Shir. If Rashi is coming to comment Ruach HaKodim, and Rashi's interpretation, and Rashi's focus is always on Unkelus, you get the impression that Unkelus disagrees. Unkelus holds a Ruach HaKodim Ba'ara means it was traveling in an eastward direction, which would then mean that the locust was being transported not from Eretz Yisrael, but from, I don't know what country. What country is that? Below the Mediterranean, on the west. What I don't know geography. What country is over there? If you go to the Mediterranean, you get on a boat and you start going down the Mediterranean.
Tunisia.
Okay, so Tunisia. So
according. Morocco, Libya, Algeria.
So that means that's where the locust came from. Tunisia. It did not come from Eretz Canaan or Saudi Arabia. If you want to learn that when it says here in the Unkelus, Hashem Dabar, he guided Ruach Kiduma Ba'ara. Because the pasuk does say Ba'aretz. V'Hashem Niach Ruach Kodim Ba'aretz. According to the Tame HaMikra. If you look at the Tame HaMikra, the word Kodim and Ba'aretz, those three words, they go together. The trop, it's a Pashta Zokev Kotom, they go together, which means that you can understand this, and the wind was being blown, the direction of the wind was eastwards, which means that the starting location of the Arbe was in the west, and the wind took it from the west towards the east. So where did the Arbe originate? Tunisia. But if you want to say that no, the word Ruach Kodim does not mean its direction, it means its location relative to Egypt. That means it was blowing in a eastern western direction, in a western direction, and the origination and the origin of the locust was in Saudi Arabia or in the very bottom of Eretz Yisrael. Go back right over here. It says here, look at the word Vashem Dabar Ruach Kiduma Ba'ara. Okay, and now you look at Rashi. Ruach HaKodim. Notice Rashi in the Dibur HaMaskil. You see, he doesn't put the word Ara. We just had this whole discussion. Whenever Rashi says something, the Dibur HaMaskil itself is a Perush. Why didn't Rashi, in his Perush, in the Dibur HaMaskil, omit the word Ba'aretz? It should say Ruach HaKodim. No, that's the next one. See that? Interesting. That's the next one. It says it twice. Ruach HaKodim Noso Es Harbe. So Rashi picks up the word HaKodim. In the beginning, it says Vashem Liach Ruach Kodim Ba'aretz. At the end of the pasuk, it says Ruach HaKodim Noso Es Harbe. Why in the end of the pasuk did it leave out the word Aretz? So this L'chor is what's going on. We'll go back to the Targum over here, the second time it says, V'ruach kiduma, and the ruach kiduma nital yos goiva. It brought the goiva. I don't know, this is the thought. And let me go look very swiftly at what it says here in the Ma'at Tzadi, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel, look at this, he doesn't even want to say anything. Can you imagine? Yes, yes, a goiva. Shocking. He doesn't want to say any commentary on this. Wow, there's not much nothing here. Unbelievable. All right, something to think about. Rashi seems pretty clear that the direction was west. What is the Targum? Is the Targum to argue? I'm willing to bet if you're medayik in the Targum, ask an expert in the language of the Targum, Targum is coming to disagree with Rashi. Okay. By the way, before I forget, tomorrow night I have a wedding in Lakewood. I do not know if I'm going to go. I really do not know. Someone in one of my classmates from Chaim Berlin, he comes to the Daf Yomi here afterwards. After the shir, he attends occasionally the Daf Yomi. I see him all the time. So I feel I have an achrayus to go. But I don't know if I'm going to go. Just because I feel I'm the highest to go doesn't mean I'm going to go. So I have to let you know tomorrow. Just keep in mind tomorrow. I don't know if there's going to be a shir tomorrow. And just keep it in mind to stay tuned to see what we're going to do tomorrow. Okay, let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tezvav. Vayechas es ein kol aretz. The locust, it covered the entire eye, in the eye of the land. Vatech shacharetz, it became dark. Vayoychali consumed as kol esav aretz, all of the grass. V'eskol priho eitz, the fruit, asher hoitzira barod. Now it says we have fruit, the priho eitz. Okay, it does that indicate asher hoitzira, which it seems indicate is that the barod, it destroyed fruit, and what's left now is asher hoitzira. V'loy noisar, it's not left over. Kol yerek bo eitz, there's no vegetation amongst the eitz. There's nothing left over of the vegetables of the eitz, and the grass of the field. Now, in the lot of dimoy, one more time on the pasuk, because there's something going on in the pasuk. Vayechas, the locust covered es ein kol haaretz, the eye. That is an unusual expression. Number two, it says vatech shachar, the land was dark. That's also unusual. Then it says Vayoichal at 8, it's called Esav Ar, it's the Esav. Okay, what's the Esav? Esav, we said before, is the vegetation, which includes the food, the barley, the wheat. And then it says the Esav called Pri Ha'etz, fruit. That's the first time we make mention of fruit. When we learned about barley in last week's parasha, does it make any mention of barley, wine, or fruit? I don't recall there's any mention of fruit. This is the first time we learned about fruit. The Arbe was laser focused on the fruit. Asher Hoysir, it says over here, it does say over here in this part, Asher Hoysir Abar, the bird over here went and it destroyed fruit. And now comes the locust and it's going to take away the remainder of the fruit. V'lo noisar, there was nothing left over called Yerek Bo'etz. Yerek Bo'etz. Now, isn't that a little bit interesting? Ordinarily, in modern Hebrew, we teach the word Yerek in the Sode, in the field. Yerek is not used in reference to trees. Yerek is used vegetables to the field. And here we're taking the word Yerek and we're applying it to the word Eitz. No one would do this. If you would write a pasuk, you would never take the word Yerek, vegetables, and connect it to a tree. The way it's describing fruit is now the Yerek Bo'etz. In the beginning of the pasuk and elsewhere, we always describe fruit as the Pri Ha'etz. And now we're describing fruit as the Yerek Bo'etz. The Pri Ha'etz. Yerek Bo'etz. And then again, Nochamal, Uve Esef HaSodeh, which is again contradicted, because at the beginning of the pasuk calls it the Esef HaOretz. And now we're calling it the Esef HaSodeh. Okay, so there, this is very, very strange. The pasuk here is interchanging terms. In the beginning of the pasuk, it says, Vayochal, it's called Esef HaOretz, and the Pri Ha'etz. And now look what it does, it reverses. V'loi noisar, the Yerek Bo'etz, okay, that's a switcheroo, and there's the Esef HaSodeh. Instead of the word Oretz, it's Esef HaSodeh. B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. So over here, we have a lot of things going on over here. Let's look at the English, how they translate this. V'yichas, the cover is, they hid all the land from view. Okay, so now, this, what the English translator did here is a very big chiddush. He took the word ein, and he said that the ein, the subject of the word ein, are the human beings, are the people who look at the grass. Who says? Why is the English translator saying the word ein means the eye of man who gazes upon the earth? Maybe it means the earth is gazing upon man. Isn't that what it says literally? It covered the ein kol kol aretz. It means the earth also has eyes. The earth has eyes, it has feet, it has a mouth, it has everything. And the locust covered the eye of the earth. No, that's not what he wants to say. He wants to hear is that from view. And then it says, the land was darkened, and they ate up all the grass of the field. Okay, we learned Esef Haaretz, the previous pasuk means all of the produce, not grass, and all of the fruit of the tree. And all of the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, so that nothing green. He translates the word Yerek as leaves on the tree. Where did he get that from? Uve Esav, the grass of the field, B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Okay, there's a lot going on over here. V'chafoyos Ein Shimsha, the eye Shimsha D'chol Ara. Now what does that mean? The Ein Shimsha. It covered the locust, the eye of the sun, the chol ara, the chol ara. What does that mean? I don't know. We have to come back and see what that means in a moment. Next, v'chashochas ara, the land was dark. V'chal yos kol esba, the grass, the ara. V'yos kol pere di lone, the fruit of the trees. Di asha barda, that the bar left over. V'lo ishto ara kol yoroika b'ilona. Okay, cap out. It doesn't want to tell us. It's not telling us exactly what this word means. It's not telling us what Yerek means. Uve esba the chalkla, that's a field, where chalkla means a field, b'chol arid in the shrine. It's not explaining very much. Now, make believe you are Rashi, and you read everything it says in this Rashi. What would you be bothered by? I would be bothered by, number one, what it means, ein shimsha. What in the world does the targum mean, the ein, the eye of the sun? What are you talking about? Vaychas es ein kol aretz, the locust covered the sun? So it would seem, according to the Targum, it means it didn't cover the earth, there was so much locust in the air, in the sky, before they made landing to the ground, that it blocked the rays of the sun. In other words, like you go to the airport, they want to land, and they say, no, you can't land. There's a lot of traffic at the airport. Put you in a holding pattern. Go in circles for an hour until we can let you land, until we have a spot for you to land. So too, they comes to the earth, billions and trillions and quadrillions of the locusts. There's no room for the locusts to land. So what do they do in the meantime? They buzzed around in the sky. And there were so many of them, they blocked the rays of the sun. That's the Shemen's Chish. That's not what he said in the English translation. English translation is the view from the land from the people. And he writes over here the sunlight. Okay, that's the first thing we're curious about in the Targum. And then it says over here, it all the grass, fine. And then it says the fruit of the trees, which bore left over. And there was nothing left over called Yoroiko Bilana. What does that mean? That's curious. And then the S for the grass of the fields. Okay, now we go to Rashi. Let's see what Rashi says. Kol Yerek. The only thing it wants to say Rashi is the word Yerek. Rashi was not bothered. Rashi seems to like agree. If Rashi's not coming to agree with the word Ein Kol Aretz, it means the sunlight. The Ein Kol Aretz means the rays of the sun. The eye of the earth means the rays of the sun. And when you the word Yerek, Yerek over here means, according to Rashi, it means a green leaf. An Ole Yoroik. A green leaf. It was not left over a green leaf. That's pretty much, I mean, that's what the English person said. Okay, that's what he wrote over here. So that nothing green was left. He is a little bit more, Rash. It doesn't just mean green, it means a green leaf. See, the Targum didn't say that. Targum just says, Kol Yoroika. Didn't tell us. Rashi goes a little bit further and tells us it means a green leaf. Okay, next pasuk. Paro was swift. He ran to call to Moshe and said, I have sinned. To whom? To Hashem your God and to you. A double sin. Targum. Targum. The word is a new vocabulary word. He rushed to call Moshe and he said, Chavis. Guilty. Kodom Hashem. This is the Targum. So we'll learn this 100 times. The Targum will never translate Hashem's name literally. The Targum always adds the word Kodom in addition, because the Targum wants to create a gap of this between man and Hashem. Okay, there is no Rashi on this Pasuk Yizayin. Viatra now. Son of Chatos Yechapam. Paro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, now, lift up, forgive. The word son means to carry, which in this context means to forgive. No chatosti, my sin achapam, this time only. Vehatiru l'Hashem elokeichem, and pray. The word vahatiru by far is the most popular word in the Targum for prayer. V'yoser me'olai, remove me'olai, rak es hamavis hazeh, only this death. Okay, then what does that mean over here, Unkelist? Let's see, there's no Rashi in this passage, interestingly. Unkelist over here says, ucha'a now, v'ata means now, shavoik. Shavoik means remove. Sa means to remove. Ka'anau l'choyvi, my sin. Beram zimna. Hoda. Bram means only this time. Okay, only this time. Vitzalo kodam Hashem, and pray before Hashem. That's what kodam. Okay, Elokachon, your God. V'yadei mine means to remove. L'choyd. Only Yos my sohadin this death. Okay, so we don't have really much explanation. There is no Rashi, there's only Targum. We'll go further. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayetzi Moshe Paro Vayetal Hashem Moshe departed, and he davened to Hashem. Targum Unifak Milavos Paro. Now this from the presence of Paro. Vitzali Kodem Hashem. He davened for Hashem. Rashi, no Rashi either. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayafek Hashem Ruach Yom. Now Hashem transformed a ruach yom, chazok me'oid, very strong. So now we have the same exact machlokes according to Rashi. When it says ruach yom, according to Rashi, it means to the west of Egypt. What is the west of Egypt? Tunisia, according to what you're telling me. Mm-hmm. So therefore, according to Rashi, the west means a wind, and the wind in the west. Now, where did it take it? Where did it carry it? Where did the west wind, it blew it east, it blew it eastward, which would then mean that it took the Arba all the way out into Saudi Arabia? Is that what it means? No, that's the problem. It carried it. The word vayiskoel means it thrust it into the Yom HaSuf. Loi nishar arbe echod b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. Now, if it threw it, it's not a kasha because on the where exactly we really need a map for this. It's the Yom HaSuf is on the east side. Well, that's the big machlokes. You see, this is the big machlokes. Where exactly is the Yom HaSuf? And we learn that Klal Yisrael, they crossed over the Yam. Where exactly did they cross? Did they go into the Mediterranean? It's not Mestaver. They went to the Mediterranean. Doesn't mean that. So what does it mean, the Yom HaSuf? It means a wadi. There's some type of little narrow, similar to the Yom HaSuf, was some very shallow river that doesn't exist anymore. A wadi, which you can see on a satellite. The satellite image, you can see the ground. There's a impression. There is a charitz in the ground where once upon a time water would flow in this area. So is that, if that's the, then that indeed would be on the eastern edge of Eretz Mitzrayim. And that's where all of the Arba were thrown into. Now here's what's very interesting. That means that when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yam, they came in contact with the Arba. All of the dead Arba went into the Yom HaSuf. So Klal Yisrael came in contact with the Arba at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. When they crossed the Yam, they came to the Yom HaSuf. And what's in the Yam? The Arba, all the dead Arba. And what does Hashem do? Hashem splits the Yam. So Hashem splitting the Yam, they're forced to take note, to take recognize the Arba. So this really answers the question, why did the Torah break up the Makos in the two Parashas? We have in Parashas Vayera 7 Makos, and Parashas Bo, we have 3 Makos. Why are they broken into 3? Okay, so there are many different answers to this question. And I just want to suggest to you now is that these 3 Makos were part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Mark of Choshech had a major impact on Klal Yisrael because 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died during Makas Choshech. Makas Bechoyos, we would have been smitten, it would have affected us, and for all generations, we have to Yitzias Mitzrayim. We have to remember there's Tainus Bechoyim, there's a Tain of the firstborn, there is Pinyan Aben. Kili pinyin aben a bechor a karm bechor, makas bechoros becomes part of halacha forever. Choshech also becomes part of halacha forever because number one of bechol bnei Yisrael haya or b'moishu isam, with the maka of choshech there was also light, there was or for klal Yisrael. And that or, that taste of or, never left Klal Yisrael, the or of Hashem. And number 3, the or, we continuously mourn the people who died. The people who died, they didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. It's like the Holocaust. These were Kedoshim. You can't forget about the people who died in Mitzrayim. It wasn't their fault. They were swept up in what happened over there. And they, whatever the reason was, they died. 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died. And now you come in contact with the first mark of the 3 is Arba locust. Where did the locust go? The locust went into the Yom HaSuf. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they came in contact with the Arba. That's what it says. It says over here is Vayev Hashem the Yom HaSuf lo nishar Arba echad b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. Okay, let's see what the pasuk Unkelus. Pasuk Yutes in Unkelus. Vafach Hashem rucha ma'avra, a western wind takif lachada, unusually strong. Unetal took yozgoiva, urimahi threw it liyama desuf. Lo ishto argova chad b'chol tuchum nitshon. There wasn't even one left. Rashi, a lot of Rashi over here. Yomasuf oimrani Shayam Sivchoya Mitzasa Namanov. Part of it was in the west. Kineged called Ruach Deroimis. Okay. The Gam Bimizrocha Shal Eretz Yisrael. It was in the west. Kineged the entire Ruach Deroimis. The southern side. The Gam Bimizrocha Shal Eretz Yisrael was on the east of Eretz Yisrael. Look at the Ruach Yom Tokel Arba Biyam Suf. The Ruach Yom it thrust the Arba into the Yam Suf Kinegdai. The Chayim Lutzilin in Tachuin Shul Poinel Lutzan Mizrach, Shanemar, Miyam Suf, the Ad Yom Polishtim, we get to the Yam Suf, then it goes to the east, the Ad Yom Polishtim, Mi Mizrach Lamarov. Okay, this describing the boundaries. We're going from the east to the west, Shayam Polishtim, Bemar Faya, Yam Polishtim is in the west, Shanemar Polishtim, Yoshle Hevel Hayom, Goy Kiresin, that's the name of the nation. Let's read one Rashi. Lo Shar Arechod, Af Meluchim Shemolchim Brem, not even one, even the ones that were salted, even those were gone. So what is going on over here? Ruach Yom, Ruach Maravi. Rashi starts out when it says Ruach Yom, the same thing he did before. It sounds like the wind was on the west side of Egypt. One more time, the next Rashi. Yom Asuf, Omrani, Sheyam Suf Hoya, where is the Yam Suf? Miktsosai b'ma'arav. Part of the Yam Suf is on the west. Now that's a west of what? Kineged kol ruach deroimis, along the south. Along the entire ruach deroimis. What does that mean exactly? The ruach deroimis of Egypt? I guess so. I guess Egypt, it comes down to the south. And along its southern border, there is the Yam Suf. So dividing the bottom portion of Egypt and whatever country is below Egypt, let's assume now that Tunisia is below Egypt for the moment. So that means that the boundary of Egypt and Tunisia was the Yam Suf. Now, I don't think that Yam Suf exists anymore today. It dried up. But it's saying along the southern boundary of Egypt was the Yam. And this Yam extended from west all the way to east. Then it's also along the east. That's along the east. Then saying it's wrapping its way up along the eastern side of Eretz Yisrael. Lefichach the ruach yom tekoi lo arbe biyom asuf kinegdoi. V'chein motzinu leinyan tuchumin shupoyne letzad mizrach shenemar miyam sufi and yom polishtim v'mizrach lamarv shayom polishtim b'marv haya. All right, so see over here, we need some fancy geography over here to really understand, but it sounds like an L. The way he's making it sound is that the Yam Suf was an L. It went along the entire southern border of Egypt, and then it went up. It made a right angle. When it finished the boundary of Egypt going eastward, it worked its way up, straight up. I guess maybe flowing into the Mediterranean. And that would mean then is that it was like an L, and when the wind came and thrust it into the corner, into the boundary, which was the southern boundary, along and also into the eastern boundary of Egypt. That's what it would seem. So if it was a wind from the west, a wind from the west was blowing in an eastward direction to throw all of the arba into this depository. All right, I hope I didn't bore you too much, Rabbi Sai. I'm going to stop over here. It's 8:00. Have a wonderful evening. Mirtzim tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll see. We'll be tomorrow. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow night. Mirtzim tomorrow morning. I got to go up here for tomorrow morning. And Mirtzim Hashem, we'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you for coming and listening. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Let's see.
How are you feeling, Maya?
How are you? What?
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better.
Baruch Hashem.
Good night. Thank you for coming. Good night. Let me go check it out.
wheel or whatever. He's very, very sharp.
What's the topic?
He's an advocate for abuse. And he attacks from